Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
As we close in on tomorrow's 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's stepping onto the lunar surface, the first man on the moon, a lot of people are paying attention to the space program. Once again, as they should be. And we've got a special guest joining us this morning with a great Minnesota connection, Dwayne Carey. Dwayne, is it safe to say people call you Digger? How well do I have to know you to be able to call you Digger?
You call me Digger right now, John, because you're from Minnesota.
All right. And you were a Highland Park grad. Highland Park High School, with your family and your wife's family, I think both living in this Minneapolis, St. Paul area, right?
That's correct. I spent some time in the projects down in the McDonough Roosevelt projects. My single mom married a guy that had a good job, and we moved up to Highland, and I married a West End girl.
Well, how about that? Hey, let's talk a little bit about your time in the program, because I think as we come to a significant anniversary like this, it creates not just the memories, but a sort of a new stirring, a new discussion about space exploration. You were a part of the space shuttle missions, as we would call them, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was a space shuttle pilot, flew to the Hubble Space Telescope back in 2002.
Well, you've flown virtually everything, too, and I'm just reading your bio here. It's like there's not anything you can't fly, is there?
Well, someone tells me I can't fly a kite, but other than that, I do okay with jets, I guess.
Hey, let's talk about the space program today and where it is, because, I mean, fortunately, we've had people continuously exploring space for so many years, but what about a renewed interest and maybe the privatization of space travel now? We're hearing more and more about that, Digger.
Yeah, interesting question. You spoke of the privatization of space travel and manned space travel, which is really kind of a big deal, and I believe that it is the commercialization of space that has gotten the attention of Americans, particularly young people. There's probably several millennials that'll listen right now that would love to go get a job with SpaceX or Blue Origin or one of these commercial space outfits. They're doing some really exciting stuff. NASA is doing a good job partnering with these commercial firms. And you know what, John? Space is taking off right now. And one of the main reasons it's taking off is by golly, we're finally getting to a point where, you know, American firms can produce some good hardware, get up there in space, and you know what? Make money, and that's the American way. That's what we do better than anybody, and we're doing it.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of talk, too, about returning to the moon sooner as opposed to later. Others might say, been there, done that. Why do we need to do that again? Give me your thoughts.
Well, you know, first of all, a quick little quip here. You know, Lewis and Clark made it all the way to the West Coast, and they'd never seen Crater Lake. There's a lot of stuff on the moon. We got to get there and figure it out. And another, the moon represents some very unique real estate. If you happen to be an Earthling, as we all are, and your goal is to more or less expand out into the solar system, which one of our goals is, the moon is a wonderful, wonderful platform to practice your techniques before you go on to Mars or places that are farther away and more dangerous. And another thing is the moon represents a wonderful place to actually launch rockets. You know, there's a good chance we're going to find the constituents for rocket fuel right on the moon. And we don't have to haul all that stuff out of Earth's atmosphere. We can go to the moon and actually make rocket fuel, perhaps manufacture a spacecraft out there and launch from the moon, which is a whole heck of a lot easier than launching from Earth. And I can tell you that because I've I've been through one of those launches, and it's a dangerous proposition right now.
Well, you know, and when we think about the moon landing, you know, Apollo 11 and the launch and everything else that was a part of it, there were just a tremendous amount of unknowns at the time, even for those men who were a part of that mission.
Yeah, those guys ladies in the audience, I'm saying guys because that's the way we did it then, but I'd like to point out to the ladies in the audience that there's tons and tons of opportunities in the space program right now for everybody, including women, they were pioneers, John. You know, when you're doing something for the first time that man's ever done it, and it's something that's really difficult. It's going to be dangerous, and quite frankly, I've talked to some of the Apollo 11 guys, and you hear stories that they kind of figured it was a 50-50 proposition as they were jumping into that spaceship. I mean, can you imagine that?
No, not for a moment. I cannot imagine that. Not in the least. So you mentioned Mars and perhaps beyond. Give me your take on that, because this is, probably how far off would you guess if things continue in that direction?
Well, I'm going to do more than a guess. I'm going to make an educated guess. NASA's done a real good job at keeping us former astronauts in the loop as far as the updated moon plans. Vice President Pence was down in Huntsville, Alabama, Rocket City, USA, a few months ago, and he announced that he would like NASA to move its moon landing plans from 2028 to 2024. And guess what that does, John? If NASA pulls this off, and we're all going to be pulling for NASA, Minnesotans included, if NASA pulls this off, that's going to move the Mars landing plans up by 4 years. And you know what? We're looking at perhaps putting foot on Mars in 2030.
That just left me dumbfounded here for just a moment, sir, just because it just such an impressive undertaking. Will you be do you commemorate things like this 50th anniversary of the moon landing? Are these significant milestones for you?
Yes, they are. Actually, my first reaction is it's been 50 years, and I just can't believe that. I know you were around in those days too, and heck, I was a seventh grader living up there on Sheffer Avenue up in Highland Park, and I remember TV was on and they were going to step out of that spaceship and walk around on the moon, and I went up and snagged my 6-week-old sister from her crib. She was sleeping. I brought her downstairs and put her on my knee, and we watched it together. Somehow, as a 12-year-old, I thought she would remember this for the rest of her life, but she doesn't remember that at all.
I suppose not.
I mean, it was just hugely inspiring and significant. And you know, John, what it really did was it gave a lot of us that saw that it gave us a sense of there are no limits to what we can do if we work together and we commit to do the hard things. And one cool thing about going to space in the future, back then it was a space race between the United States and the Soviet Union. But in the future, going to Mars, on places like that, and even the moon missions, these are going to be international ventures. And I would just hope that our politicians are going to make it so that we include the Chinese, which have a very vibrant space program. They're excluded right now from most of our space partnerships, but you know, we need the entire world to pitch in and do this, because these are the accomplishments of mankind. We're all on this earth together, and we got to do this together. And that's going to be one of the main differences we're going to see moving forward. Is this going to be international venture?
Lieutenant Colonel, retired from the U.S. Air Force, Dwayne Digger Carey. Thanks for the conversation this morning and the encouraging words. It's a pleasure to have it's an honor for me to have a chance to chat with you.
Thanks a lot, John. It's been a pleasure and an honor talking to you. I used to listen to you back on LOL back in the day. And folks that are listening, if you wanted to learn more about what my wife and I are doing these days, education and all that, just look us up on astronautbiker.com. And I've been real busy. We work with schools, and I'm trying to prepare kids to be part of this international team.
Well, we will look for that for sure. Astronautbiker.com.
You got it, sir. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah, you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.